I can't say that I was surprised when the union was contacted by journalists. I would imagine that the government has had this on the back burner for some time. Actually, a scheme has existed in the United Kingdom for some time now, whereby universities report so-called suspicious enrolment of students from countries that are known to be working on weapons of mass destruction, and they report those enrolments to the Ministry of Defence. And ever since then, ever since I read about that in the UK newspapers, I've been expecting some similar measures to be introduced in Australia.
But the proposal to monitor universities, academics and students more closely is not only based on overseas experience, but more importantly on the Anti-Terrorism Act 2005.
This latest set of issues, which follows on, of course, from the passing of the Anti-Terror Bill 2005, or now it's the Anti-Terrorism Act 2005. Now, that piece of legislation, we think, had a number of impacts for university staff. The most serious impact, I think, is the potential for academic freedom rights to be caught up in the sort of broader impact on human rights that accompany the bills or the Act's sedition provisions. But we were also concerned at the time that the legislation opens up the possibility that academics could become subject to the control orders that prevent them from undertaking research or teaching if they've been deemed to have facilitated, unknowingly, the training of a person suspected of perpetrating a terrorist act. And that was particularly a concern for staff undertaking research and teaching in applied sciences, biotechnology, the medical-related disciplines. We were also concerned that the bill may lead to the surveillance of university staff and students' teaching and research, including their use of library and internet materials and their attendance at seminars and conferences. And now we have a situation where it appears that university administrators are being required to monitor staff and students.
The Safeguarding Australia framework has been a national research priority. Its primary goals are to protect Australia from terrorism and crime, and research and experiment with defence technologies to provide better information and improve military operations. According to Andrew Netty, this has forced universities to carry responsibility in promoting counter-terrorism.
I'll be quite clear and say that, you know, universities, like other organisations, have a responsibility to prevent the transfer of technology that is directly related to the creation of weapons of mass destruction. And that already exists under the existing export control system. And I think it already includes commercial items that have a direct military as well as civilian use.
But, Andrew, by saying that universities actually carry a responsibility to prevent the transfer of technology, yeah? I mean, that would actually imply that this plan wouldn't then come to a surprise. I mean, then...
Well, no, I mean, I don't... Well, I mean, as I say, there already are very significant export controls. Of course, the problem with extending that to what the Department of Defence calls intangibles, which are research, conference papers, seminars, etc., is, of course, you restrict the distribution and exchange of knowledge, and that does, I think, create a broader chilling effect.
Okay, so by that, you're actually raising concern of how they would control research or scientific experimentation. There could be a possibility, you never know, that they would assign ASIO spies on campuses.
Well, I mean, there already is surveillance there is some surveillance going on. There was a case in Melbourne last year where a student, actually an Anglo student, but the student had, I think, converted to Islam, changed his name, was doing some quite legitimate work as part of an undergraduate course on terrorism, on suicide bombers, and was interviewed by the Australian Federal Police on the basis that that person had taken out books from a library, I think it was, or had bought them over the internet. And as a result of that, that person's name somehow came up in one of the intelligence agencies, and AFP agents interviewed that student. So this is already happening. Whether the university administration played any role in that, I've heard conflicting statements about.